Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Terry Puttis, Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Forces, Transformation, and Resources. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Chuck Proh, Defense Industry Leader. Terry, could you define transformation and transformation rate within the military context? What are some of the keys to transformation, and how has transformation changed from when then Defense Secretary Rumsfeld first established the Transformation Office?
Well, you know, defining transformation is somewhat difficult. I think what I'd like to do is maybe try to describe it for you. You know, our concept of transformation is really about doing those things that allow you to continue to have a competitive advantage. And so the concept is really based on the fact that if you are in a competitive environment, whether it's in a national security context or whether you're in industry, and you're not doing this thing called transformation or constant creativity and improvement, you soon find yourself in a very big pickle here. You are essentially a strategic fixed target. And if you think about it, you know, there's lots of industry examples, and of course in history there are nation state examples. So the concept is to this continuum of constant innovation and creativity, seeking those things that are going to be the source of your competitive advantage. And it's really at the high level, it's really about strategy. It's really about choosing a competitive space and then going about the work of creating organizations, capabilities, policies, those sorts of things that then influence that competition in the space. So if you think from your side in industry, it's really the same thing, right? You're not interested in chasing the emerging market. You really want to create the next market. It's about creating the future that you would like, and that's the competitive space. So essentially all the activities come under that sort of large strategic concept. There's a number of things you do. You try to understand the future security environment. People like to look at it through the lens of technology, but it's really much broader than that. You know, it's about new concepts, new organizations, doing things differently with different technologies. It's about trying to understand underlying principles, right, which all strategists do. They look out there and they say, that's really interesting that this is happening, but why is it happening? And is there a way that I could influence this particular trend in a useful way to my advantage? So things like that. What's going to be the source of perhaps your next competitive advantage kind of thing? And there's some big examples in the past. You know, there are the one from the Army that I always usually use is the when the Army several decades ago said we want to own the night. Okay, well, we turned that into that vulnerability into an enormous competitive advantage for the U.S. today. And it's looking for things that are game changers, you know, changing the game and changing the rules, changing the basis for competition. When we, for example, decided to compete on the basis of precise navigation and timing, okay, that yielded GPS, Global Positioning Satellite, right? And it not only changed the battlefield, but it changed the world. You know, so are there things like that out there that we should be thinking about as well? But really, and this gets to your question about rate, but it really is about people. It's about the culture of the organization. You know, and all senior leaders know that that's where their really competitive advantage comes from. And so the ability to facilitate what you call a learning organization, one that has the ability to outlearn your competition. So this is about learning rate, okay? And then, of course, taking that learning and translating that into some sort of actionable kind of capability or organization or something. That's a real key to it as well. And if you listen to what, you know, very successful industry CEOs have done and other people, they really do focus on this learning rate piece here.
That's interesting. Now, recently, Defense Secretary Robert Gates has underscored that military transformation, and I quote, is a major charge from the president that must continue. I'm curious, how does the recent realignment of your office within the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy support this charge?
Well, I think that we're there now to, you know, we're more closely aligned with the processes. We were more, I guess I would characterize this as an influence organization. okay, which try to create some new logic and, you know, try to influence the larger processes where now we are, you know, more closely aligned with the formal processes. And so it really has changed. I mean, I, you know, since I've been at this from the beginning, I remember trying to participate in certain forums to try to, you know, provide some alternatives. And, you know, that was met with mixed success sometimes. But now, you know, it's accepted. The views may not be accepted, but the views are always welcomed. And so I think that's a big change in the department's culture. And so, as I said, we're supposed to continue to do this. I mean, my job is to always be somewhat dissatisfied and impatient.
You just let out all your secrets.
Terry, the core of the U.S. defense strategy focuses on four security challenges outlined in the department's National Defense Strategy. Can you describe DOD's ongoing shift to enhance capabilities and forces needed to address irregular, catastrophic, and disruptive challenges?
There's a tremendous amount of work going on here. Clearly, we had focused on what we called the traditional challenge. The Department of Defense is very, very comfortable, you know, in that particular quadrant. Sort of took ownership of that. But when you step back and look at the larger competitive environment, you'll see that there's a dynamic that happens, and that is as you create more and more capability to deal with what we call the traditional challenges, competition moves to the others, okay? And that's part of what you're experiencing now. And so the question is what kinds of capabilities and organizations and those sorts of things you need to deal with those. And so that's a great deal of the work right now. And it's very complicated. The traditional challenges were, you know, usually owned by the Department of Defense. The other three have a larger national security component to them where you now operate within interagency kinds of constructs. And so the team is much larger. So lots of work going on in developing those relationships and what do they look like? How do they contribute? And in many cases, you go from what people talk about as kinetic solutions to non-kinetic solutions because it's really about behavior. So what are those kinds of things that we need to be able to do to be more successful in that particular area? I mean, you hear lots of people talking about strategic communications, okay, which is sort of the term of art today. But how much do we really know about that? How do we know about the cause and effect of those things? So that leads you to say, well, if we really want to understand that, then perhaps we need to bring in this group of cognitive sciences and cultural anthropologists to help us understand that particular dynamic. You know, the catastrophic things, those things are, of course, are very troublesome because we are in a very globalized construct in the world today where we are very interdependent, which brings with it an enormous amount of brittleness. What might trigger a shock through the system that we hadn't thought about? I sometimes refer to the SARS event in Singapore, right, which is in 2003. Our major focus was preparing for the Iraqi campaign. But the result of that had a major disruptions in economics around the world. I think we had a couple of major airlines here in the U.S. that were, you know, on the brink of bankruptcy, and we all know what happened to the tourist industry in Canada. And so, you know, this catastrophic, cataclysmic kinds of stuff is quite troublesome. So how to think through what might be the consequence management of those things. Disruptive challenges are, you know, sort of another category. How do you think about those, and what kinds of things could you do deliberately to help mitigate those kinds of threats? And we, you know, we have a construct. If you're interested, we could share it with you. I know the time is limited, but you know, this is where rate of change comes in. Okay, if you're on a linear sort of, you know, path of modernization, you know, a prospective proponent can get a bead on you at some point and disrupt whatever that is you're trying to create. And so, being able to modulate rate of change becomes a very useful construct.
How can the U.S. military reduce its vulnerability to disruptive threats by increasing investments in programs that accelerate transformation?
Yeah, I just sort of touched on that a little bit. But clearly there's lots of work going on in the department to work on the processes. I mean, I don't think anybody would come in and say that we're really happy with our processes now and they're just fine. We don't need to change them, because everybody acknowledges that, you know, the rate of change is causing us to relook how fast we can do things. So that's going on. But how do we do other things that help influence our thinking about what are the kind of capabilities that we might want and how would we use them and that sort of thing? And so this notion of experimentation really becomes a very powerful tool. You know, creating sort of tangible capabilities or experimental articles, like I like to call them, putting them in the hands of operators, bringing the science and technology community together. And then on a very rapid, you know, cycle, developing concepts and requirements and that sort of thing. And so I think that that's a very powerful activity, which is very useful, this experimentation business.
Can you please elaborate on the concept of transformation chairs?
Sure. I'd be glad to. That's something that, you know, is sometimes underappreciated and overlooked. But, you know, I talked about it briefly in the opening segment, which was this notion of culture. How do you fundamentally get at the culture of an organization? And, of course, one of the key levers of that is education. Several years ago, we said, so how, you know, what could we do to affect that? And so what we decided to do was help facilitate the creation of transformation academic chairs at all of the department's institutions. And as most people know, we have junior and senior level colleges. We have the academies. We have Naval Postgraduate School. We have Acquisition University, a whole number of these. So how can we catalyze transformational thinking in those institutions as sort of a focal point to insert certain things into the curriculum, help influencing how people think about things? And the chairs are interesting, but the real interesting piece is that they come together every quarter and they collaborate with one another and they share experiences. And so it's sort of a large community and it's been quite successful.
Very good. It sounds like you're creating new models and dealing with the academies and researchers.
Yes, that's exactly the idea. You know, this notion of collaboration is a different kind of construct in the information age. It means different things. And so to be able to facilitate that in this transformation chair network, and we also have some affiliate chairs, both international and from other folks too. So it's taken off.
Terry, you've used terms like rate of change, modulating change, talked about learning, talked about behaviors and culture. So I'm curious, to what degree has the DoD developed metrics for measuring the capabilities of transformed military forces and the effectiveness of transformational military services? And is DoD using these metrics in making decisions about programs and resources?
Yeah, of course, that's really the hard question, isn't it, right? You know, if you're in industry, you can measure bottom line. But here you're measuring, you know, behavior or outcomes that are very difficult to quantify. So, you know, they're normally qualitative, subjective kinds of things. And so there has been, you know, a significant amount of effort on doing that. It's difficult. You know, we need to continue that effort. We, of course, were great advocates and continue to be of this notion of network-centric operations or whatever term you want to use. You know, everybody seems to buy into that and they like that, and that, you know, it's no longer debated. It's how do you actually do it? But then, of course, you know, you always run into the question with the resource people, right? And everybody has this. So tell me about the return on investment. Okay, so you have to, you know, try to articulate that. And so we've done a number of case studies sorts of things to look at different units and how their effectiveness was changed and different things. And so that's been a useful activity. I actually have a personal metric that I use. It's used to sort of judge the culture of the organization. Language conveys culture. Okay, so the way words that people use say a great deal about, you know, how they've changed or, you know, their attitudes about things. And so when I think back when we started, a great deal of talk always about, you know, coordination and deconfliction and those sorts of things. But you don't hear that anymore. You hear, you know, sharing and collaboration. You know, people use those terms a lot. We used to talk about interoperability, and now we talk about interdependence of systems. And so for me, that's a, you know, that's a fundamental metric for judging how the culture is changing. You know, this is a tough subject. You know, metrics have always been the holy grail. but we continue to work at it.
Well, as you mentioned, it's really all about driving behaviors, and behaviors historically have always been difficult to measure and quantify.
Absolutely.
What about efforts in military innovation? We will ask Terry Puttis, Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, for Forces Transformation and Resources to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.